席quam te niocuri nasre ala habu azizom tu som naturi voron vorone voron tarom cat tu te jarum anal charda sale cadin dorom cat tu te jarum anal charda sale la Chmacho aru nishi vekare zol facho sayad azizom dar pishi kare voron vorone voron tarom kar chu kajaru manal charda sale la rindorom kat tu kajalu manal charda sale la rindorom kat.
Music from Iran, Persian love songs, and mystic chants. Poetry. Perhaps we'll hear some music dedicated to Rumi. Folks, I'm sure, have heard of Rumi, the poet, the great poet, Persian, Iranian, ancient culture. I don't know about ancient, but very old culture, very fine culture. Carol here with Arts Live and Local, and I'm very glad to be here. Another full show, and dedications. Do I say anything? I'm sure we all know how desperate we are. Desperate and yet dedicated, absolutely sure, and refusing to give in to the forces that be. I won't name countries. Well, I already did, but I will say that the most action can take place right here in our own country. And if you're listening from another country, check out your country. And hopefully you're in a relatively safe place and can speak up. If you're not, try to find someone who can speak for you. Because we all need to be speaking up right now. Yesterday was my brother's birthday. Happy birthday, Donnie. It was great to visit. It was also Freebo's. Remember Freebo. Today, a very happy birthday to Whispering Smith. And tomorrow, wherever she might be, to Belinda. Monday, wherever she might be, to Lois. And and one of my guests coming in today. So be ready to give a shout out. Happy birthday to Dee Guidi. To Lynn, wherever he is. And healing to Hope and Gina and Jan, Stephanie, Issa, Lulu, Hamp and Janet and Noel, Luann, Karen, Jean and Carl, Tom and Steve, Mary Beth and Ted, and to, again, the families of Sue and Peter Hutala and Mika, and to all of you and me who need healing, because we all do. Also, with hopes for Astoria Coast Guard rescue swimmer Tyler Jaggers. So, my first guest is here, and I am so grateful to Zoe Bossier, whom I met, well, that's not true. I kind of met Zoe online. Zoe didn't meet me because I was at home watching a Zoom. But you were presenting at the Cannon Beach Library. And you've also given memoir workshop at the Seaside Library. Zoe lives among us these days. However, this extraordinary book that I treated myself to slowly but very surely is called Cactus Country, not an Oregon book, except it is now. Cactus Country, a boyhood memoir. So, welcome to KMUN, Zoe.
Thank you, Carol. It's an honor to be here with you today.
Wonderful. Well, I was feeling like I couldn't give it enough praise because I was so old. I have two pages of notes that I took from the book. I even listed the pages. The Beetle King, I felt sick about that one. Sage, the Javelinas who reappear. Mm. Never heard that word before. I had no idea what it was. Your book is written, I was feeling as if it were, each chapter was almost an essay. And it could stand on its own. It did stand on its own. And yet, it is your story with recurring people. Mm-hmm. And also, I got nervous because I don't have TV, but I remember the old days when they would have cliffhangers. And there were a couple of chapters here where I thought, oh, no, you're not going to tell us what happened.
Right.
But you did. You just sort of mentioned it, but went on to the next part of your life. So skillfully written. And considering where you came from, not who you came from and who you were, but the kind of childhood you had.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary that you are now. And you're not that old. You've got a... Where's the wood? Do it. You've got a ways to go. You've got your own writers. Tell us about that first. You've got an organization in addition to teaching. Let me see if I can come up with the... I thought I wrote it down, but it's not in front of me.
Do you mean the magazine?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm the managing editor of Brevity, which is an online literary journal that has been around for, gosh, it's going to be 30 years next year. And
since you were three. Good for you. You were
I didn't begin it. No. I've only been involved for the past 8 or 9 years.
Where does it emanate from?
Well, I believe it was started in Ohio, but because it's online and because its editors are from all over the place, you know, it's really kind of from everywhere.
Well, As I read, I somehow I knew, because I'd seen you online, I knew you were alive and well and articulate and literate. So I knew this had a safe ending.
Yeah.
And it felt happy, too, because you're doing something productive and creative, and you have a community, and wow, what we all need now.
Yeah.
So that gave a sense of safety. But I wonder how you can tell the story to our listeners. I'm not going to read them, the 200 right, pages
yes.
in the book.
I'd be happy to.
Where would you like to start?
Well, go? You know, I always like to start, honestly, with before it all began. You know, I start with my parents, who were a little eccentric, I think, as far as parents go.
Mm-hmm.
To give a little context, I was born in the 90s. In the 1980s, they were sea lion trainers in a traveling circus in Hungary.
Oh, wow.
You know, they're just very adventurous people. And so I came around, and we were living in a place called Reston, Virginia, mm-hmm. on the East Coast, which was a suburb of Washington, D.C., you know, beautiful, but very sort of humdrum. And when I was 11 years old, my parents started to feel, I think, a little bit boxed in by that kind of life. And one night, my dad was up late, and he was looking on eBay, and he happened to spy and then subsequently bid on and win an Airstream trailer, mm-hmm. which he had always wanted.
Of course. The dream.
The dream.
Of the travelers.
And my mom was on board with this as well. They were both really excited about it. And the trailer happened to be located in Tucson, Arizona. So,
I didn't know how you got to Cactus Country, but that's okay.
Right.
You went. Now, your parents were expecting with an Airstream to be on the move some, or were they ready to settle down?
Well, we just didn't know. You know, mm-hmm. I think that it opened up a lot of exciting possibilities of what we might do with it. And we had done a fair amount of traveling before that, I should say, you know. So when I was 8 or 9 years old, my dad bought a miniature school bus, and he outfitted it into a camper, and we lived in that for a time traveling mm-hmm. around, but we ended up going back to Virginia after we were finished traveling around for several months.
This tells me a little bit about why your parents even, first of all, where you had this model that you could even do some of the things that you did.
Right.
And then what could they say no when they had done and you knew about it.
Right.
So even though they tried sometimes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so now you're in Tucson, but...
Well, so my dad came to me and said, you know, we're going to move to Tucson where this trailer is, and we're going to live there from now on, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be an adventure. And he pulled all the stops. He said, we can get a dog, something I'd always wanted. You know, but I had my own conditions, so I should say that living in Reston, Virginia, I was being raised as the girl that I didn't feel I was. You know, everyone knew me as a girl, all my friends at school, my parents, and nobody knew how often I fantasized about being able to cut my hair short and being able to be the boy who I felt I was inside that nobody could see. And it's something that I think has always been with me, had always been with me when I was little.
Did you talk to your parents at all about it?
Yes. I mean, I would say, but you know, the language was not there at that time.
That's right.
And the context wasn't there. So I couldn't come to them and say, Mom and Dad, I think I'm transgender. Instead, I would say things like, I wish I was a boy. It's not fair that I'm not a boy. It's not fair that, you know, I'm expected to wear a dress or a skirt, you know,
right.
Whereas if I was a boy, I wouldn't be expected to do that. Or I want to play with only boys, not girls. Or, you know, I had all of these complaints. And I think my parents saw it as a phase, you know, or something that they could sympathize with, right? Because those are fair grievances, this opportunity. And I said, well, if we're going to move to Tucson and I can reinvent myself, that was one thing he kept saying to me, we can reinvent ourselves. I said, well, then I want to be a boy and I want to get a haircut. And my dad said, okay. So he took me to a haircut place. And he told the woman what I wanted. And she said, are you sure? And I said, yes. And she gave me a haircut. And I suddenly had this very short haircut. And everybody thought I was a boy, like pretty much immediately.
Now, part of that is because of your body shape. You're slim and...
Well, I was also 11. Yeah.
At 11, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you came to this new community.
Yeah.
And you just started hanging out with the boys, literally hanging out, hanging on trees, hanging wherever it was.
That's right. Yeah.
And did they immediately accept you, though?
I mean, yes and no, you know, because I had shown up. Nobody knew who I was. And the thing about a trailer park, at least the one that I lived in, was that kids were coming and going. Families were coming and going. You know, I would have friends there for a couple of weeks or months at a time, and then they would move on. So it was kind of the perfect cover. You know, I was spending a lot of time with them, but it was also adult free time. My parents were not around. Their parents were not around. And so nobody knew any different. I did have to acclimate myself to boyhood in some ways, though, because there were things that had not been expected of me prior when I was presented as a girl that suddenly were, you know, I had to be masculine. I had to keep up. I had to compete. I had to carry myself in a different way. And these were all things that I learned through watching the other boys.
Also, the particular group of boys you were with, if you'd been back in a regular school, a middle-class school, for example, you might have had a different model of boyhood.
I think that's true, yeah.
Some of it, at least. Some of it, granted, and the way adults treat boys versus girls is quite different. But in terms of the kids, that was pretty rough, some of that stuff you were going through.
I think there's a real particular masculinity that is Southwestern. You know, I think that it goes all the way back to the kind of almost like a myth of the cowboys, right? And of the Western expansion. And so these were the kind of stories that were in the ether in Tucson, you know, the OK Corral and the Earp brothers and solving problems violently, you know.
And
that was the example of masculinity that we all looked to and followed.
Well, I just, the reason I want you to tell this is because there are some denouements here. And I don't want to, what do they say? You know, if you give away the ending. So, okay. So this is all happening in the trail. You're 11. And, puberty is coming.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was rough. That was really rough. I think it's rough for everybody. But I think for me, it was such a betrayal. Because I think there was a part of myself who felt that because I knew that I was a boy, that somehow my body would know too. You know, and somehow
magical thinking,
right? Somehow that would not happen to me,
right?
But it did, and I was really confused. I was really angry with myself, you know, that this was happening to me, and I had no control over it. And it also really brought up a lot of difficult questions for me about what's going to happen to me? You know, I was able to be a boy. I'm not a girl. I'm growing up, but not into a man, but I don't feel like a woman. So what does that mean for me? Where do I fit into all of this? You know, I had questions about what bathroom am I going to use from now on? I had questions about, you know, is it okay for me to love women, you know, in the way that I had? I had crushes on girls as a boy. And then what was I going to look like? What was going to happen to me? Where was I going to end up? Because I can't be a boy anymore. I'm growing out of boyhood.
You know, it's interesting because some of those questions, I think, many children have.
Yeah.
You know, you look in the mirror and you do put a hat on or you change. But in your case, it wasn't just the appearance.
Right.
It was quite deep. Plus, you had been living as a boy.
Yeah.
Except in your parents' house. Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah. But their home was much more open-minded. And you were an only child.
I have a much, much older sibling. So essentially, I am an only child. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That may have helped. Maybe not, but may have been helpful.
I think so. Yeah. You know, and my parents, I think because of their background, were bemused. I mean, I don't think they really understood what was going on, but they trusted that this was something I needed to do, and they just gave me as much space as possible to do it.
Yeah, that's why I said, I read the acknowledgments, and I was relieved to see how you wrote about your parents. So, I don't know about fast forward, but let's move ahead in the story, because as I said, this is Cactus Country, a boyhood memoir by Zoe Bossier. And Zoe is Z-O-E with the double dot above it. But you now present as they, she. Mm-hmm. So how do we go from there to here? Because we don't have enough time to take people, you know, well, we'll tell people afterwards where and how to get this book. I highly recommend it. It's beautifully written. And as I told Zoe when I met her, I got teary. I laughed out loud. I was revolted by some of the things you and the kids did.
Yeah.
And I learned so, so much. So I'm very grateful. So how do we move ahead?
Well, there wasn't a clear path forward for me, but I felt extremely conflicted, you know, about my identity, and there were forums, and there weren't very many forums, and there wasn't very much information, but I was able to find a little bit of information about someone who called themselves gender fluid. Mm-hmm. And genderqueer. And these were terms that I'd never heard before. And they're terms that I feel like you don't hear too often today.
No.
More often you hear non-binary, someone who doesn't identify as either male or female, or who identifies as both, or, you know, there's sort of a spectrum there. And it felt right to me at that time. It felt very much like, yeah, you know, I've never thought of that before, but I am kind of in between, you know. And I'm growing into somebody who's in between, who has the experiences of both. But the problem with that is that nobody had heard of anything like that before.
And everybody was trying to figure it out, figure you out, and label you.
Exactly.
And there was no label, or there wasn't a known label. There is no label for a human being, anyway. But for sure, and to put you in some kind of a box.
Yeah.
When did you decide or realize or understand that writing was your path?
It took a long time. I've always loved to write. Ever since I was little, I loved telling stories and writing them down. But it wasn't until college that I recognized that writing was something that you could do actively as a career, you could call yourself a writer. And I found this out because I was taking a writing workshop and suddenly I was introduced to the writing department and meeting other young people who were learning to write and very seriously, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. so it's something that I immediately loved and I threw myself into because it felt like the best way out at that mm-hmm. point. I was mm-hmm. really ready to leave Tucson and to move on and to see what I could do in the world. And writing was the vehicle for me to do that.
So you switched schools several times. And I think I'm correct that none of your, even your high school kids, the people you hung with, mm-hmm. Went to college?
Very few.
Very few.
Yeah, or some who did. Yeah, they didn't finish.
And your parents hadn't gone to college, so it wasn't a sealed deal.
No.
That's what you do.
No.
Because also it costs a lot of money.
It does. Yeah. I was very fortunate because I happened to go to a school that insisted that all of us apply to the University of Arizona, which was the school in Tucson. And I got a voucher to apply for free through the school. And when I was accepted, I was also, because of my good grades and because of my family's low income, I was eligible for a scholarship to go to the University of Arizona for free all 4 years.
Yeah.
Which was an incredible opportunity that I did not recognize.
I was going to say, yeah. And you said no. And your mother said, and your father said, yes. Are
right.
you kidding? This is your one shot.
You'll right.
never happen again. So looking back at this point, how, I mean, that's the thing. You said there was no book for you to read at that time.
Yes.
This book is for everyone to read, whether or not you think you've had experience with people who feel or felt the way Zoe did. I think so many of us wonder, because this boy-girl thing gets pretty absurd sometimes.
It sure does.
But when did the book come out?
It came out in May 2024.
Took you a while.
It did.
But it's amazing that you captured so much. Had you written down a lot of the stories before?
I hadn't, but you know, I'd been writing for quite a while, and there were some things that I had written down when I was a younger person that made their way into the book. But you know what? When I started to write it down, these were a lot of things that I hadn't thought about in so long. Mm. I had actively not thought about them. And so when I sat down to write, they just came pouring out of me.
Yeah.
It felt like the right time to sit down and remember and make sense, because until I wrote the book, I didn't really understand myself.
Fantastic. Well, that's that's an affirmation for writing of whatever kind. Your descriptions of Cactus Country, of Arizona, are also extremely evocative, wonderful. I really enjoy, I'm glad I don't live there, but I very much enjoyed and appreciated all of that. I'll stop repeating myself just to say, Cactus Country, a boyhood memory, enthralling, fearless, viscerally intelligent, and deeply moving. Was one of the comments by Justin St. Germain. Tell us, do you have some gigs coming up?
I do.
That people tell us.
Yeah, I have a few local things coming up. So in addition to being a writer and an editor, I'm a teacher. And so next week, I'm teaching a queer writing workshop through the Arts Council. And that's on Wednesday, March 11th. At 11 a.m., and you can sign up for that through the Astoria Library, where it is also taking place. And then later in the month, I'll be teaching a writing about family workshop at Seaside Library, and that's on Saturday, March 28th. And you can call the Seaside Library to sign up for that one in advance.
Okay. Now, if people want to Well, you have an unusual name. So if they put your name into the research bar, will they be able to get information about you?
Oh, absolutely.
And where can they buy the book?
Well, the best place to buy it here in Astoria is at Look Around Books, which is in the Menagerie Co-op downtown.
Okay. Yeah, we don't use those guys, the big guys.
I don't either.
Local bookstores.
Local bookstores.
Best.
And if you're in Seaside, mm-hmm. Beach Books carries it. If you're in Cannon Beach,
great.
Cannon Beach
Oh,
Books.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much, Zoe, for the book, for joining us here. And I look forward to seeing more of you and hearing more of you, too.
It's Thank you,
Carol.
It's been
a real pleasure. So.
For me, too. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I can't recommend this too much, folks. It's enlightening is what I would say, for one thing. Got some music for you, and then my guests. Here's a piece from Tim Grimm.
Here we go again. Thought we'd been down that road. I thought we left it all behind us. I guess we should have known. It's fight or flight. It's so far from being great. I can't believe that laughing fool might lead us to our fate. Don't it break your heart? 'Cause it breaks my heart. Damn that man who tears this country apart. He's got no shame. He's got no soul. He's got no poetry inside to make him whole. When I was a kid in public school, I thought we'd learned a thing or two beyond the golden rule. Put faith in science and truth in words, acts of kindness and hope for all the world. Don't it break your heart? 'Cause it breaks my heart. Damn that man who tears this country apart. He's got no shame, got no soul. He's got no poetry inside to make him whole. Sometimes we walk a thin line with our heads deep in the sand. One man's sense of justice ties another woman's hands. And the simple price of freedom to be left alone and dream is in the hands of his judges who just bend the laws and scheme. Don't it break your heart? 'Cause it breaks my heart. Damn that man who tears this country apart. Got no shame, he's got no soul. He's got no poetry inside to make him whole. If you follow him, you can count to seven. If you call yourself a Christian and you believe in heaven. Greed, lust, sloth, pride, envy, gluttony, and wrath. It's clear as day. They storm the house. All the hate inside his little mouth. Damn that man.
Thank you very much, Tim Grimm. Broken tooth. Excuse me. Broken truth. Yeah, you can see how hard that is. Well, much, much more pleasant than anything he was singing about, of course, because that's the outside reality. We're coming back to Clatsop County, and I have with me here two good friends, and one of them is a regular on the station. Neither of them is virgins, mind you, but one of them... quiet down now, quiet down. Dee Guidi is here with me, yes. And also... Carol Smith.
Ooh.
Carol has been in many times, but nowhere near as many as Deke.
Mm.
Because
I know it's been like a month since I've been on, so you had to get me back.
That's get me it. Back on the radio. Well, they're here because this exciting event is happening on March 21st from 12 to 4 p.m., noon to 4. At the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts. And this is, you tell it.
Yeah. March 21st, as you know from the past couple of years, we have been doing a Love the Larson Center event. It has been, we have been doing art auctions, we've been doing live performances, we've been doing silent auctions. We've just been inviting people to get to know the performance space a little bit more. And March 21st, we're coming back at you with our third or fourth?
You can speak into the mic, Carol.
Yeah. It might be fifth.
Fifth Love the Larson Center event.
It's so much fun. We can't even keep track of
that's
numbers.
Because we love the Love the Larson Center event.
We love to love.
Yes. And yes, like Carol said, 12 to 4. This year, I think we're doing some really cool... We're having some really great music, but we also have some really great prizes and silent auction that you can bid on this year. There is a huge list of local experiences that people from around town and around the area have donated. And later on, I'm sure Carol will tell us a little bit more about that. But
that's Carol Smith.
Carol Smith, correct. And it is going to be a really fantastic afternoon. I was telling people last night at Ales and Ideas, in this time of kind of, we have a lot of questions about what's going to happen and where we're going to be. I will tell you one of the things that I think can help all of us is just being together and embracing art. I thought last weekend was remarkable with the Fisher Poets. Yes. There was a lot of really phenomenal kind of community building. I think this Love of the Larson Center does something equally profound. It has the mm-hmm. potential to do something equally profound in kind of bringing us all together and loving this community a little bit more.
And this community is large. It's because, especially the arts community, we have no boundaries. The river unites us rather than separates us. And all the theaters and the bookstores, even the restaurants. So, Carol, tell us what folks are doing this year that's a little different.
Okay. Well, we're having, it's Love the Larson Center Experience. And that is so big because the experience at the Larson Center is really special. And I'm just going to say a little bit about our wonderful venue, which is home to music ensembles. It's amazing, really. Two bands, a symphony, an opera company, a music conservatory, a community chorus, as well as a service group, the Lions Club. These groups are all dedicated to maintaining this fabulous, historic, beautiful old venue. And to make cultural events that are affordable. And the community supports us so much, which we're just so grateful for. But you'll be able to bid on a scenic photo shoot, your child's portrait painted, a helicopter ride.
Whoa. Okay.
Liberty Theater pink martini tickets. That's just
pink martini tickets. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's worth money.
Yeah. Well, and the idea is to raise the money for this beloved space that some of us, I don't know about You do, but I've been working in that building for over 40 years because it was part of the college until they kicked it out.
Right.
And thank goodness we
the group
were able to receive it. And I think part of the reason the community is so supportive is because so many people in the community are vested. All these groups, the bands, the symphony, the chorale, and KMUN, we all have a connection.
Yeah.
And we all need the space.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And as we have done in the past, we are going to have some smaller ensembles that represent some of the bigger groups. We have got Astoria's favorite low brass ensemble, the Astoria Tuba Quartet.
Oh, yes.
We have a group called the Triceratones. I love them. Jude Matulich and et al. Doing some fabulous string work. We are also going to hear from the Queentet.
What's that?
Four queenly women from North Oregon Coast Symphony.
Oh.
Betsy Ellerbrook and all of the gals. I can't wait. And the Fab Piano Trio from Knox as well, with Diane Amos and Bill Britton.
Oh, sweet.
And it's, and we're still waiting to hear back from a couple of people. I was just looking at this and I was like, oh, I guess I could have put my name on it.
Are you?
I didn't, but I guess I'll put myself as an alternate.
Aren't you the MC?
I am going to be emceeing it.
And if you've ever seen Deke MC, that's enough of a performance right there.
It goes. It could go a lot of different directions.
Yeah, it certainly.
And we have the Trolley Stop Combo.
Oh yes.
Thank you, Carol.
So great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw them the time when they acquired their name.
Right, me
playing
too.
Playing at Winecraft.
Yes.
With the trolley stopping right there.
Exactly. So they took the name, and they're terrific jazz performance. So, and so that's going to be going on all day. Now, it's from 12 to 4. Do people need to buy tickets, or how does that work?
Be great if people would let us know they're coming. Be great if people let them us know they're coming, and they can get tickets at the door.
Okay. And then they will be able to purchase these experiences and or baskets with credit cards, or just...
I think so.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Gaetano's is providing munchies and... sweet treats, and there will be beer and wine available for purchase, and
the munchies are free.
Yes. And it's going to be a really fun, really vibrant afternoon of great music
and you
great
can
people.
Come and go. Too.
Come and go.
Yes, you only have an hour. Come, take a look at everything, put a bid on, and then come back and outbid everybody else.
That's right.
Yes.
You know how it works.
That's right.
Okay. Website.
www.larsoncenter.org.
That's Larson with an E, not an O. You are in Scandinavian / Nordic country. You need to pay attention
That's
to
good.
These things.
That's really good.
Okay, it's happening March 21st, so that is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Actually, right in the middle of KMUN's pledge drive. So it's time, especially now. We need to support community in every way we can, because we need each other more than ever. And it's fun. Yep. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Carol
Smith and Dee Guidi, who are on the board of the Larson Center. And KMUN is part of that as well. And we support the Larson Center, too. Thanks. Okay, some music, more music. Beautiful Persian music dedicated to homage to Molavi, who is Rumi, right here. KMUN.
در عاشقی پیچیده این بار من یک بارگی از عافیت بریدم در عاشقی در عاشقی
Okay, folks, I'm going to bring down this beautiful Through Eternity Persian devotional music to Rumi, the poet, and bring up Astoria High School thespians, including their esteemed director. They have a play opening tonight.
Oh.
Holy moly. Did you remember that, all of you?
No, I don't remember.
A good thing. So, Kate Lacaze, once again, is guiding this group. She is wonderful in our community. What are you guys doing? And who are all these people? I'll let them give their own.
We're doing Beetlejuice Jr. It's a musical version of the classic Beetlejuice story. So it's filled with a lot of really fun music, and we're performing this weekend and next. So, it's just a really fun retelling of sort of this tale that a lot of people know.
Which is funny, because I spoke earlier to a woman, to Zoe, who lived in Cactus Country with her huge Beatles. I mean, huge Beatles.
Oh,
I don't think that's what the play's about, though.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah,
that would be funny.
Okay.
Beatles drinking some
Beatles drink. Okay. So now, how do you want to? Are you all on stage people?
No.
We
have one,
no.
One stage one. Manager over here.
Oh, Sylvia. Stage managing,
Hi.
Huh? This is exciting. Mm-hmm. Sylvia from Brownsmead, I should mention.
Whoa.
Yes.
Me too.
From
Doxed.
You too.
Yeah.
Oh, this is getting... Okay. Are you all seniors?
No.
No.
Are any of you seniors beside? The two Brownsmead kids are seniors.
And oh, Micah.
Okay. And Micah. So, you've been doing tech work since you started at Astoria High School, right?
Yes.
How does it feel to be leaving on this high note of being stage manager?
A little emotional. I'm very happy, and I am so excited for opening night.
Yeah.
Oh, man, she is busy. Like, all show. You should see her.
Okay, now, I, believe it or not, I don't know the story of Beetlejuice, which is fine, because everybody else out there does. Mostly from the movie they said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, okay, so who is going to tell us what they're doing, what this means to you? Okay, yeah, Xander does tend to be very vocal. Go ahead, Xander, from Brownsmead.
Well, I am a couple of roles in the show. I am the priest, I am Matsy Dean, I am also a Beetlejuice clone, and a cigar mobster. Very, very varied roles.
Wait, you're a priest and a mobster?
Yeah, I mean, one side to the other. I mean,
Well, I'll say no more. Which one's the funnest role?
Oh, it's gotta be Matsy Dean. He's like this over-the-top businessman who's looking to buy the house that Beetlejuice is in. And we have lots of witty comedy and just lots of
but
fun
this
lines.
Is a musical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We break into famous song, Day-O, you know, like Day-O.
Oh, yes. Oh, cool.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
It's awesome.
That one I know. Okay. And what about green hair?
Ooh,
that would be River.
Himself.
Hi. Oh, you're Beetlejuice. Oh,
I am Beetlejuice.
Is that why your hair is green?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Hi, my name is River Hare. I'm playing Beetlejuice at Astoria High School. That's my only role. It's a huge role. It would be very complicated for me to play more than just that.
A huge role. A lot of lines? Or mostly
not as much
just
lines
on stage?
As singing.
Singing.
This musical... If it sounds kind of odd, but it's very music heavy.
Yeah,
some musicals
yeah.
have a lot of lines as well. Mm-hmm. This one is on the lesser side of that. But.
More like an opera. Oh,
ooh.
Did I say? Oh.
There is an opera part.
We do have an opera part.
And what year are you in?
I'm a sophomore.
Oh, good. So we have a good singer who's a sophomore. We got.
Yeah,
we can use you for the next few years. That's great. Izzy.
Hi, I'm Izzy O'Connor. I have the role of Lydia Dietz, and I'm really happy to have been able to work with all of these people. I'm a junior, so I've gotten to work with them quite a few times. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to come back to that. Thank you for mentioning that. And Micah.
Yes, hi. My name is Micah Aguilar. I play Delia Schlimmer in Beetlejuice, and I am Lydia's stepmother.
Okay, and now I'm remembering where I saw you, and you were wearing a suit, and your partner was tall. I remember you just, I was sitting very close.
And you can't take it with you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What a good show.
That was a great show.
That was a lot of fun.
And
one of my best roles.
Yeah, that was very funny. Okay, so... Have you four worked together on stage before?
Plenty
of times.
Multiple times.
So what happens when you, for example, you're graduating? You're going to get a whole new class of freshmen.
Yep.
Are you nice to the freshmen?
No. We try really hard.
We try to encourage people from, you know, the younger classes to join. It's really hard to not be extremely nervous to be joining a new program, especially with so many people that are very established in it. But, you know, the past couple years, we've lost a lot of seniors.
I remember
and
that.
And so it comes down to
12
like...
12 or something.
Yeah, it comes down big time to, like, recruiting the younger classes.
Oh. Well, and you're just a sophomore. So did you do theater before, though?
Not very much, okay. No. I did about a year of theater prior to the high school, and that's it.
So it's been okay working with these old people.
Yeah, we are old. I'm sorry.
You know, it's been fine.
all seriousness, though, we are very accepting, and we love seeing new people come in and new faces and the next generation of these actors for Astoria High School. I think it's really awesome to see them kind of move up
It's important.
As we leave, they come on.
Yeah.
And they're very all spirited too. Like, I feel like they all get more and more like energetic as the years go by.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really wonderful working with some of them, yeah.
That's great. Well, a part of this, it is kind of a legacy thing. Mm-hmm. If it falls apart, it's because you guys didn't recruit the next group.
A lot of pressure.
Thanks for that.
No, a lot of pressure.
Yes, because I live here. I want this to go on. You may go off to college or something. But so have any of you done tech?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've done tech before.
You've done tech.
Yeah, I started on tech. I didn't really plan to start acting in the first place, but it kind of just fell into my hands, and now I really enjoy it. But I have a huge amount of respect for the people that do our
you know
tech
what it
because
takes.
I understand that it is not it's not an easy job as many people make it out to be.
And that's what I was wondering, because with Sylvia, did you ever think you would like to be on stage, but...
I acted a little bit when I was a child, and I think that's the extent that I enjoyed it.
You liked being backstage better.
Definitely. I love it.
Good. And you're good at it, obviously.
Oh,
they wouldn't
you.
Let you be doing this, for goodness sake. And Micah, you're also a senior?
Yes, I am a senior.
So what are you doing next year?
Next year, I am planning on taking 2 years up at Clatsop Community College.
Good.
And I am going to do some online classes over at ASU and stay in the area for a little while.
ASU is?
Arizona State University.
Oh, which is where my first guest graduated from, the author of the book. Okay, good. So you're not going anywhere, so we'll see you on the stage, whatever stage it is. And what are you doing next year?
I'm going to go to the University of Oregon in Eugene, and I want to major in theater arts.
Okay.
I absolutely love doing this. It is just so fun. And I feel like if anyone can do it, I can do it. I can break out into the field and become like a professional, and I would love to do that.
Well, if confidence is any part of it, and it is... Good luck.
I think
you'll be fine. Sylvia, do you know what you're doing?
Yes. I am also going to University of Oregon for English.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Do you think you might get involved in theater, too, when you're in college, you two?
I definitely am. I know at ASU, at the very least, I am majoring in the performing arts.
Okay. And you're in English. Close enough.
Basically. Yeah.
Well, it's great. I am looking forward to seeing the play. Might even see it opening night.
You should.
It's a possibility. Folks, we have 5 students from Astoria High School and Kate Lacaz, leader of the pack. She stays while they move on in life. Fortunately, we have Izzy O'Connor is sticking around for another year at least.
Yeah.
And River Hare is sticking around for another 2 years at least. And the other 3, Xander Berner and Micah
Aguilar.
Oh,
it's a difficult last name.
No, but I was looking up.
Oh.
Everybody else, you wrote below. Micah Aguilar and Sylvia Thorpe are all leaving, but staying, and Micah actually is going to stick around Clatsop County.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Thank you so much for coming. You 4, break a leg. Just one each.
Just one.
Thank
each.
You.
Sylvia, no breaks. Okay. Thank you so much to all 5.
Thank you.
Six
thank
of
you,
you
so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, folks, for being here at KMUN, Astoria 919, KTCB, Tillamook 89.5, Coast Rate, KMUN.org.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.